Leonard Bernstein's centennial is this year, and Laura Downs decided to celebrate by gathering with a few of her friends and playing some of his pieces, playing some of their pieces, and making some new music to celebrate the future. That's all just ahead on this episode of New Classical Tracks as we explore a new recording called For Lenny with Laura Downs. Enjoy. Well, Laura Downs, what does Leonard Bernstein mean to you? I mean, I guess I think of you as a young female artist, and yet to have somebody from a different generation, especially a male, to inspire you, I guess I'm surprised that, I mean, maybe there are other, you know, women musicians out there who are also inspiring you, but what was it about Leonard Bernstein that really makes him stand to the forefront for you? I mean, if you had to really be a little more specific about it.
I think he is very much my guide along this path of being an American musician and maybe, you know, even more being a musician in the world. I think really there are so many ways in which I look at his example of doing this job in the best way that it can be done. I think he was a game changer and he was a rule breaker, but I think that everything that he did absolutely from the heart. I think that his life in music and his life in the world were driven by passion and commitment and, you know, a deep kind of belief system. And I think that he was really committed to this idea of taking the music and putting it everywhere it could go and giving it to everyone, you know, to whom it belongs. He went so far above and beyond, you know, what he needed to do. And I think he tried so many things. He was always driven by curiosity and always reaching further. That's, to me, really inspirational. And I think that he ended up accomplishing something that's so big, that has so many different aspects to it that, I mean, I'm hardly alone. I think that every American musician I can think of looks to him for guidance in one way or another. I think there's no one who's come close in terms of the impact that he's had on our music, our culture, and the things that we believe we can accomplish through music.
Well, your new recording is called For Lenny. It celebrates his life, his music, and his imagination. And I'm wondering how his imagination inspired what we hear on this recording.
Well, this project started as one thing and evolved into something, you know, bigger and more complex. And the world of imagination has been really a joy with this. I think that I started with the idea of recording all of Bernstein's anniversaries for piano, which have really captured me for years because they portray a very different side of Bernstein, this very intimate, very private side. You know, these were little pieces that he wrote over many years for his family, for his friends and colleagues, and they, you know, are miles apart from the big, brash, you know, West Side Story Bernstein that we know. And then as I started to think about what these pieces mean to me, what they represent, I think that the project blossomed into more of a survey of what he means in the world of American music. You know, it's very much about past and present and future. I've got his music. I have arrangements of his music that are kind of pushing outside of the box. And I have these new pieces that I've commissioned called Anniversaries for Lenny that are very much about, you know, looking back at his legacy and also looking forward into the future of American music.
Would those be the world premieres that we're hearing on this recording then?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about those since you brought those up, because they feature some very likely candidates or maybe not so likely. And I'd love for you to just kind of highlight these little pieces. And these are little short pieces. I mean, was that part of the requirement when you asked them to write these works?
Yeah, I tried to put some parameters because the Bernstein anniversaries are all very short. They're all pretty much under between 2 and 3 minutes. So I did want to create companion pieces for those. And I think that all of these composers were responding to those anniversary pieces. And so it just sort of happened that they are likewise miniatures and, you know, these very concise little portraits. I started with a group of composers who were personally connected to Bernstein during his lifetime. Corigliano, Stephen Sondheim, Stephen Schwartz, and then, again, just thinking more about what Bernstein has meant in the world, the circle, the family of American musicians, I realized that there's so many lives that he's touched in very different ways. And so I try to represent that. You know, there are composers who you wouldn't necessarily immediately think of as heirs to Bernstein, but I think that the work that they're doing is very much informed by changes that he made, the work that he did that broke down boundaries between genres. So I think that there's a pretty wide sample here of, you know, what's happening today in the world of American music, and all of it we can trace back to this life and legacy.
Did any of these composers of the New World premieres give you any additional insight as to what their little pieces were about?
Yeah, we worked closely together. And I think that one of the interesting things is that they do reflect on different sides of Bernstein's personality. One of the really interesting little pieces is by Shulamit Ran, who was also very closely mentored by Bernstein when she was very, very young. And we were talking back and forth on the phone. She's in Chicago. And she sent me this piece, and it's bright. And I was about to give away the punchline, but it's this very bright, big, bold piece of music. And I had been receiving a lot of lovely sort of melancholy lyrical pieces, you know. And so I wrote to her and I said, oh, I'm so glad that you captured the exuberant side of Lenny. And she wrote back right away and she said, that's it, that's the title, Exuberance.
So did you help her title the piece, or was that the title and you just kind of guessed it?
She had originally sent me the score with the sort of working title Bolt, because she was thinking about the way that he would bolt on stage when he was conducting. And I liked that. But when I said Exuberant, that spoke to her. And so we changed it. There are different pieces on the project that really do reflect the exuberant side of Lenny. The iconoclast, the thinker, the romantic. It's very nice because he was so larger than life. And yet he really had all of these very, very different aspects to him that connected, you know, with different people in his life.
I've heard you say that one of your favorite pieces is the one that Eleanor Sandresky wrote, The Romance for Lenny. Why is that one of your favorites?
Eleanor's a close friend, and I know her really well as a musician, so I think I know where this is coming from within her own, you know, musical world. It's so profoundly loving, this piece of music. I mean, it's just beautiful, and it's just so sweet. And he, you know, I think it's connecting with the sweetness that he had.
You invited a very diverse group of guest artists to join you as well. When you were talking about how Lenny touched on so many different aspects and made, you know, just kind of changed the way we look at music, I wondered if that's why you started the recording the way that you did.
I think so. I think in the end, yes. And the track wasn't recorded intentionally to be the first track. At a certain point when I was working with my producer and we were sorting all of that out, it became incredibly clear that it needed to be the first track. You're talking about this beatbox version of Something's Coming from West Side Story that I recorded together with Kevin Olusola. He's a fantastic beatboxer, and it kind of represents everything that I wanted to say in this album about the past and present and future of American music and how they connect, and all the things that we feel free to try, because of the work that Bernstein did, because of the work that he did to break down boundaries, you know, because he tried his hand at so many different kinds of music, and he just kind of followed his own passion. And for me, I mean, this version is beautiful, and it makes so much sense. And I love it that the first sounds that we hear on this recording are not even my piano playing. It's the sound of, you know, beatbox and just pushing West Side Story, which was already ahead of its time when it was written, and we're just kind of pushing it now again into the future.
And we should, of course, mention that Kevin Alusala is with the a cappella group Pentatonix. And, of course, they're known for doing so many groundbreaking things and bringing a lot of people into music.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, it's exactly that. It's this courage that we have, that my generation has, to try new things and to reach out. I really think that we can all trace that back to Bernstein. You know, to go out across the airwaves the way that he did was a very new idea, to touch all of the people that he did through his TV programs, to have the audacity, you know, the courage to try his hand at writing Broadway shows and also symphonies and, you know, conducting the New York Phil and just doing everything that felt right to him. We don't think twice about that now, but that's what he did for us. He made that possible.
Thomas Hampson is sort of on the other end of the spectrum. He's an opera legend who, as a very young talent, just starting his career, was working with Bernstein and was so struck by the passion that Bernstein had for the music. He is featured on Simple Song from Bernstein's Mass. How is Bernstein and his music right for these times?
Oh, that's a big question. I mean, I think that, you know, he was an activist and he was a firm believer that we could take this music and we could put it out into the world and really let it heal and speak and create unity and understanding. He acted on that throughout his life. And I think that we need that so much today. I think that this question of what is our American culture, what's our American story, who does it belong to, this is something essential right now. And so it seems so timely, you know, to reflect on that piece of Bernstein's legacy and to act on it. You know me, you know, I'm always out when I'm on the road, I'm always out with young people. And it's been really fantastic to use this as a way in with them, you know, to share this music and some insights into the history of where he was coming from and the changes that he made. I think that we need what he was doing today so much in somewhat different ways. You know, we live in a different culture and kids don't cluster around black and white TV sets anymore, but they have the same need as they did then to share in their collective history and culture and feel that it belongs to them.
Well, you're talking about kids, so let's talk about Lara's living room. I was watching how you have kids there paying tribute to Leonard Bernstein, and they were drawing, and they were sharing their promise for the world, and singing and dancing. Tell me a little bit about yes. that experience and what that was like to work with kids, to maybe you were introducing them to Leonard Bernstein.
Yeah, this is a group called Time In Children's Arts Initiative in New York, and every time I'm in town, I spend time with them. These are kids who come from schools, really at-risk schools in Harlem and the South Bronx, and they come to this art space in Chelsea, and there's a group of musicians. I'm one of them, and we really love to give our time to just being hands-on with these kids. So we always spend time together, you know, once, twice a month. But I started thinking about what we could do when I'm not on site. we have been spending a lot of time with Bernstein's music, and, you know, they love it. They love everything from West Side Story to these little piano pieces. They connect so much with both the stories behind the music and the music itself. You know, I mean, it's, we all love it. It's got these driving rhythms and beautiful melodies. And so it's been really a pleasure to share this music with them for the first time. But I don't get to see them often enough. So we've built this online portal called Lara's Living Room, where I can live stream to them wherever I am. They can upload pictures of their drawings, videos that they make in the studio, and we can just connect easily through the power of the smartphone. And it's really something exciting for me, because I always have that feeling when I'm working with young people that I wish I could just stay, you know, I wish I could be back tomorrow, and I can't. And I think this is an interesting way to continue the relationship and deepen it.
That's the music.
You make that to the music?
Yeah.
Let me see. Keep drawing. You're so inspired.
I wanted to go back to thinking about Bernstein the activist, because the song So Pretty, which is sung by Rhiannon Giddens, is an anti-war song from 1968. Tell me a little bit about that piece and this collaboration.
Well, it was a piece that it's been one of my favorite Bernstein songs for some time. And, you know, again, so timely. The message of it, the anti-violence, anti-war sentiment, means a lot to me, but even the delivery of it, even more so. It's another simple song. It's written in the voice of a child, and it's just expressing, you know, the impossibility of understanding why we harm other human beings. You know, and Rhiannon and I met just about a year ago, I guess, not even. And I've admired her work so much as somebody who takes no prisoners in, you know, bringing American music to a very deep place of understanding and sharing, and again, sort of illuminating the connections that bring different traditions together. She's been so brave and bold and committed to doing that. So it really made so much sense for us to collaborate on this song. And she does something really, really beautiful with it. Her background, I mean, most people know her as a bluegrass artist, but she's classically trained, and it was just a real pleasure to work on this song and find this interpretation of it. Yes, I'm a young female artist, and so is she. And we both are kind of furthering, I guess, this tradition of the American artist as communicator, educator, activist, which I think is probably the most important thing when we look back at what Bernstein accomplished within our culture and our story.
But there's so so pretty,
the other guest that we haven't mentioned yet is Mexican-American clarinet prodigy Javier Morales Martinez, and he is pulling out all the stops with a little piece from West Side Story. Tell me about him and this collaboration.
Javier is a fantastic young clarinetist and a beautiful human being, and he's recently turned 17 years old. And I met him through the Young Artist Program that I run at the Mondavi Center at UC Davis, the annual competition. He won our first prize last year, and the moment I heard him, I just fell in love with his musicianship. Just somebody who really plays, you know, from the heart, and kind of an old soul, you know. And Javier's story, too, it has a lot of meaning to me as an American artist and American citizen. He's first generation California born. His family's from Oaxaca, Mexico. He's a third generation clarinetist because his dad and grandfather are both clarinetists in traditional Mexican ensembles. And so Javier is kind of comfortable in both of those musical traditions as well. He's a student at the Colburn School in L.A., and it was just important to me, again, with this eye towards the future and, you know, sort of the thought about where is American music going, to be collaborating with someone who represents the next generation. And I think it's also a gesture for me to, you know, everything that Bernstein believed in as a mentor and a teacher and somebody who supported an entire generation, you know, inspired an entire generation. Yeah, this is Javier's recording debut. I hope it does great things for him. It's really a pleasure for me to collaborate with somebody who's so young and so passionate and so full of promise. It's exciting.
You also had the opportunity just recently to collaborate with Bernstein's son, one of his sons, Alexander, when you were part of a chamber music ensemble as an artist in residence at UC Davis. I'm curious if you learned anything about Leonard Bernstein having a chance to work with his son.
What I've learned from that, Alex and I have been on the road together. We've been touring with this performance where we, you know, we share stories and conversation about his dad and the music from this project. And what is really extraordinary is that everywhere we go, he can't be in a room without, you know, a dozen people coming up to him. And that's just the ones who are, you know, brave enough to approach him and have a conversation. So I think it's just a sampling. But there are so many people who were so personally touched and shaped and informed by his dad, whether they were students, you know, worked with him at Tanglewood, whether they maybe just wrote a letter at one point as a young musician, aspiring musician, and got that letter answered, whether they grew up watching the Young People's Concerts on TV.
Beautiful notes and songs put together in such a way that we get pleasure out of listening to them. That's all there is to it.
It's really just something tremendous, and I've never seen anything like it. Someone who touched so many lives so profoundly. The stories that come back to us about, you know, this is what Lenny meant to me, it just never ends. And it's incredible and inspiring.
This recording was a labor of love and one of discovery for you, and I'm wondering, what did you discover about yourself as you put together For Lenny?
I guess what I've realized is that this recording in many ways is kind of the logical next step. You know, my last recording was called America Again. It was a survey of American music and kind of the diversity of our musical traditions. And when I started making this record, I just thought it was a record about Leonard Bernstein, but it's really a record about American music. It's really, again, the same reality that our music comes from so many different places, so many different people. All of these things come together and make something so unique. And I think that Bernstein stands as kind of a figurehead of understanding that and acknowledging that and making that important and visible for the American public. So I think that it's another piece in a multi-chaptered story that I seem to be telling about American music and my place in it and my inspirations and my guides along the way. I hope that this expresses what I feel about Bernstein as someone who certainly makes it possible for me to be here and to do the kind of work that I do and to have the audience that I have. I think about that every single day.
That's New Classical Tracks from American Public Media, with special thanks to Valerie Kaler for producing this episode. I'm Julie Elmacher.